All right, man. It's live. How you doing?
I'm great, great. Thank you.
So, yes, I wanted to talk to you and just sort of get an update on what's going on. Cam, I've sort of known you virtually anyway for a couple of years, I'd say now.
It's got to be about 2 years, I think.
I remember initially jumping on a live stream of yours at livecoding.tv, which I think is now
It's totally
it's changed
defunct.
a little
It's well, it's changed a lot, and I don't think anybody uses it anymore. I
Really?
personally switched to Twitch.
To Twitch, yeah.
Twitch Creative.
Which is so, to me, I think that's so funny because when livecoding.tv started, Twitch was had been around already for quite some time. So, why the switch when that choice A already existed? I don't know. I
Well,
think.
because they totally rebranded and a lot of people left the site when they tried to push that premium subscription model.
Yeah, that's interesting.
And the platform for the streamer, I mean, like for me, using Twitch is so much nicer than using live coding or live EDU. It's just it has this dashboard where you could see your stream health, you could see the chat, you could see everything related to your stream on one page. It's really nice for the streamer.
Nice. Yeah, no, I haven't been on in a while. But yeah, that's where I had initially run across you and projects.
Yep, I remember that. I was working on
Yeah.
Space at that time.
Yeah, awesome. So actually, why don't we do some proper introductions?
Sure.
Who are you?
I'm Cam White. I am a web developer, full stack JavaScript guy. I like a lot of things about technology. I like working with it. I like the creative process that goes into building it. I like the design aspect of the client. I like the architecture aspect of the server. And my main focus is primarily in the realm of JavaScript, or now what is ECMAScript, the new standard, which isn't fully implemented in the browser yet, but we can compile it down and use it today. So that's what I do.
Awesome. So obviously big user of Babel and all that stuff and
Yeah, I'm actually some of my projects use Babel. Biggest project I have, I use the TypeScript compiler, but I don't actually write TypeScript. I use their compiler because it's a little closer to the standard, like as it stands right now.
so a little truer to the book, more or less.
Yeah.
Awesome. Why JavaScript? What is it about JavaScript
Well, I
that
think that for me,
keeps
I
you?
mean, I the one the first reason I got into it is that I love the World Wide Web, and I like the idea of really kind of just typing in an address, going somewhere new with no control, and being able to load an application through that mechanism, with nobody putting a gate around it, you know? And the second thing that really kept me in JavaScript was that I can build an entire application in a unified language, via different frameworks. So that's really appealing to me as someone who's out there on their own trying to make things happen with their own projects, as I don't need a team of people. I don't need a back-end guy who knows Ruby on Rails. I don't need a client guy who knows React. You know, like I can just handle all this stuff myself. Maybe not at such a fast pace, but it's really appealing to me in that aspect, is that it's unified across the stack.
Yeah, there's a certain aesthetic and efficiency about that. I would have to say.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, when you're able to have your client, your server, your entire application, your Electron shell, all in the same file structure, in the same directory, in the same language, it just makes more sense overall in the big picture. You know, instead of having a separate repository for your Ruby on Rails backend, a separate repo for your client, a separate repo for your native apps, like you have it all in one place, and it kind of gives you clearer picture of the bigger picture, and at the same time, it's appealing because it's all in the same language.
I've read the book on JavaScript countless times. I've done, lots of Douglas Crockford JavaScript talks and stuff. There was just something about JavaScript that I couldn't get my hands on to the point where I was sort of properly building things. JavaScript's awesome. It's super powerful, but there's
Well,
also lots of ups.
no,
What
there's I mean, what was born of the language was not the perfect language. But I think what it's growing into and will continue to grow into, is going to be something that is way more than they imagined when they first conceived it. And I mean, it already is, but I mean, with the fact that now they're really starting to move fast with this ES ECMAScript syntax and the features that are coming along in ES 2015 and ES 20 that are here in ES 2015 and coming along in 2017 that are already partially part of Node, really make the code so much cleaner, so much more readable. Just the syntactic sugar that's coming into the language, like a lot of other languages have had for a while, that we kind of had to hack together, is making it more like a manageable, scalable, realistic platform or language to create an app of any kind, you know, not just a web app.
Sounds like it's the language is developing its sense of pragmacy, if that word, you know, it's becoming pragmatic.
Yeah, I'd agree with that.
That's really cool. The reason why I sort of bring up that side, it's not to sort of slight JavaScript in any way, but I'm curious what if you have any sort of biggest gotcha, so to speak, of the language that when you understood it or overcame it or you know knew how to spot it and deal with it in your development, like do you have any sort of moment like that you can remember?
For me, not having much experience with multi-threaded languages, I don't really know the advantage to being able to process things on a different thread. But I think that would be the main complaint of someone who would say that JavaScript is not a proper language, in that it runs on a single thread and has to await things, or has to be told that things are going to happen in at a later time, so don't worry about them now because we only have this one thread to work with.
Well, I'm more of a Python guy, and I, you know, that's something that Python is dealing with in the moment as well. And you know that like Python's a language that's coming on to 30 years, you know. I think what JavaScript's year was 96 or something like that.
Yeah, 90, mid 90s. I don't know off the top of my head the exact year, but it was It was built by Netscape in like a month.
Brendan, like you had said earlier, the concept, like or the imagining of what the language would be when it was created, is it's even today far beyond what they could
absolutely
conceive.
Absolutely.
But I think JavaScript really was just a 10-day sprint by Brendan Eich to you know, thwart Microsoft from monopolizing the web, you know. I don't think it was meant to be the software backbone of, you know, Silicon Valley unicorns and so on and
Totally.
Like, it's so crazy how it's
That's what it's become in a lot of cases.
Yeah, it's so cool.
Twitter just in the last couple months switched their entire mobile back end to Node.js.
Wow. Yeah.
So that's a huge amount of traffic.
It is.
You know, and I think just the traction the language is gaining for me makes it another thing that's very appealing, is that like more and more people, companies, corporations are picking it up and like using it in their products, you know, so it just becomes a more valuable skill to have.
Yeah, true. You mentioned an aspect of JavaScript in how it exists at every stage in the stack. But this factor of speed, your development speed, that's an issue as you develop your projects?
No. If anything, I mean, I think it would become an issue if I was, you know, running a Rails server and doing all these different things. But literally, I have a Webpack bundle. I run npm start. Server fires up, uses a middleware to actually virtually build the bundle and serve it up, and then boom, that's it.
Yeah, that's so. What are your projects? Let's get into the projects. What are you working on?
Sure. Right now, my main focus has been, for the last month, I've been back on a project that I've been a passionate one of mine for a while. It's called Mesh. URL is meshtogether.io. I refer to it as a social collaboration platform, but to people a little bit more technically savvy, I like to call it Slack Overflow, wrapped in a social network. It is all about collaborating with other people and contributing things to your team, which is essentially your network. And it's kind of meant to be like in some aspects the anti-Facebook, where everything is just consume. This is meant to promote contribution, and at the same time create content that can help other people who are in the same pursuits as you.
Very cool.
Yep.
Where did the idea come from?
The idea came to me when I was like first getting back into learning to code, and I was coming across all these really awesome tools to collaborate with people, and I was like, where do I find the people to collaborate with? You know, I understand that there's companies, there's organizations and all that use these tools, and that's who they're really more suited for. But it's like, I was like, I want to use these tools with people too. And I want to have a mechanism to find those people and the tools right next to those people. So that's really where the idea was born.
Very cool. So it's you know, it's sort of like the classic, if I can say classic, scenario of solving your own pain.
Yeah, definitely for me. Mesh is that. And then I have another project that I work on from time to time. you know about it, you've used it. It's changed a fair amount since you've used it. It actually, because as you know, it started as just one-to-one random group video chat where you could kind of connect and call each other back, whatever. Now it's random chat roulette with eight people.
That's interesting.
Yeah, so it's a group chat roulette, and it's pretty fun if people, you know, if people actually start using it. But it's such a popularity play that when you do get the random 1, 2, 3 people in a day log in, it's there's no use for them. I need 500 people to hit it at the same time.
Yeah,
you know, and then it could do something, but it's just, it's total popularity play. But the thing I like about Mesh, it's the complete opposite of that. Is like, it could be a small organic growth from one team who does something cool, you know, whether that's build something new or figure something out that, or that they were trying to, or whatever it may be. I mean, even as the scenario is unfolding now, it's a few people who are using Mesh like almost daily are actually contributing to the code base of Mesh now. So
that's cool.
It's kind of getting meta in that sense where it's like, we're using Mesh to build Mesh. And I feel like just that is success right there. So just those little steps, you know, in Mesh as compared to something like Speak to Space where it would have to just go viral.
That seemingly immense barrier of critical mass in the user base, right?
And they're totally opposite in what they would take to succeed, in my opinion. Both different apps. You don't need so much of a critical mass on Mesh if you can get a few passionate people who want to use the app to use it how it was created to be used. And Speak to Space, you need that kind of viral, like, oh my God, this is the hot new shit. Like, get on this thing now.
Is Mesh more gratifying to you as the initiator, and say, like you say, other people are now contributing to Mesh's development. I'd like to call you the benevolent dictator for life.
No. See, that's the thing. That's part of what Mesh is trying to eliminate is the benevolent dictator. Everybody has a vote. Everybody has an equal vote, and those votes count. You know.
So the
concept behind the forming of a company around Mesh would be very similar to how Mesh itself is set up. In my mind, a democracy with a few gotchas, like say there's a tie, you know, in the voting of the employees of the company. That tie would be broken by whoever has a higher Mesh score, a higher reputation, you know.
Interesting.
So everything in the company would be happening on Mesh. Everything we're working on as a company would be being tracked in Mesh. And as a company, we could all vote on those things. And that's how we would prioritize what we think we should be working on. And that's how we would evaluate where we're going right and where we're going wrong. And every employee would have that ability to vote on those things, you know, from the woman who answers the phone at the front desk to the CEO, you know. I really envision it like sort of breaking the mold of traditional corporate culture if it does get to that next level.
Do you see the path to doing that now?
It's starting to become clearer, but it's still, you know, it's still like a little bit of fog of war around me, as far as like, is this viable? Is this going to go anywhere? Can I have success with this? But it's starting to clear the mist a little bit, and I'm seeing the forest for the trees, or whatever the saying is. And, you know, and it's really been gratifying just to have It's been online. It was on preview. It's still kind of preview. It's pretty much official MVP right now. Haven't really promoted it besides sending a few messages to acquaintances and friends. But just to have helped somebody, I helped this kid in Vietnam who's 16 years old, who's learning to write web apps, learning React and stuff, and I helped him set up Vim with Mesh. Like, that was so rewarding,
Nice.
So just stuff like that's been great. And unfortunately, I'm gonna have to turn my focus a little bit away from the coding side of Mesh for the time being. I'm gonna be looking for contract work, some freelance stuff potentially. I just need some income coming in. But that's not to say I won't be coding on Mesh at all, and I'll definitely be promoting it and using it. But I have to, now that I'm back stateside, I was in Vietnam for 6 months and everything is a lot cheaper over there. That gave me the freedom to work on these projects at my leisure and really put forth my all the effort I could give without having to worry about immediate income. And now that I'm back, I kind of have to worry about that.
Yeah, that totally makes sense. When we had first become acquainted, I believe you were in Atlanta, and so eventually I remember you going over to various places in Asia. I believe Vietnam was one of the stops, and Thailand, and there were a couple spots. And then, of course, you've just come back from a second trip. Is that sort of your strategy in developing the projects that you're most passionate about, is to take a trip to these countries where you can live a good life at a relatively much lower cost than over here in North America, and just grind out on your projects?
Exactly. So, like, I'm trying to do like 6 months here, 6 months there. And if I could have established some sort of basis for income here right now that was transferable to over there, I would definitely be on that train of doing 6 months here, 6 months there. Like, if I had some remote position, not necessarily full time, kind of like a consultant where they just call me up when they need me, and I still have the freedom to work on my projects. And I would kind of envision it like 6 months here, 6 months there. I just invested in this van that I'm going to be living and traveling in while I'm here, because I'm not ready to get a house. I don't have a family. All I have is a dog.
Winston.
Winston, he's sitting right outside right now. He dug himself a hole in the dirt and he's sleeping. But yeah, so I think that's the plan. I mean, it could turn into not necessarily Asia, but just some other countries. Maybe I'll go south, Central America or something, because I can drive there.
Yeah, man. That's a wicked life, to see everything that there is to be seen, build the vision simultaneously. I think that's fantastic.
Thank you.
Typically it's build up some business or company or career position, and then once that is put in place, go to all these places that
You never got the
as
chance to go before,
right
but
that had all
you were like
been
slaving your life away.
No, that's awesome.
It's great, man. I have no complaints right now. Like, I'm super psyched on this new vehicle, and I think it's gonna be a lot of fun traveling around, seeing all different places, having the ability to pull up in San Francisco and be like, go do some interviews. You know what I'm saying? Like, if I feel like it, like, oh, and if I get a job in San Fran, like I don't pay, you know, $3,000 a month for rent. I live in my fucking van in a campsite outside the city. Like, so it's a good situation for me right now. It's just, I have to turn my focus towards that immediate income, unfortunately, now that I'm back.
Yeah, that makes sense. That it's a part of the challenge, you know. It's a part of the challenge. So agreed. what stops do you have on your initial routes here? Like,
well, the first place I'm going, I don't know. I only know the first place I'm going. I am going to this place called Felicity, California. And this town was founded by a guy whose family helped raise my mother for a time while her mother was dealing with mental health issues. And he's insane, this guy. And he's created his own town named after his wife, Felicity. And it's like a roadside attraction now. And it has like, he calls it the center of the earth. And it has like this pyramid museum. It has all these weird libraries and stuff. And I'm just going to go visit this guy because apparently he'd be interested in meeting me because I'm Susan's son.
Whoa. That's, man, that's intense.
Yeah. It sounds like it's going to be a blast. I'm probably going to be starting a YouTube channel. It's like a travel lifestyle channel about my journey. So I'll
do it up. I will subscribe to that in a flash.
Yeah, it's definitely happening. So I just have to start out on the voyage and it'll be going.
Yeah, that's
because there's a few issues I have to solve right now with my driver's license.
Okay.
So I'm kind of like hunkered down here for another week or two, and then I'm gonna start the journey.
Awesome, man. Awesome. So I'm just sort of curious on one last thing. As you travel around, how are you gonna manage Wi-Fi and build on the how are you gonna manage the travel aspect and the fact that you've got a more immediate need to build that direct income. So what's your strategy to make sure your the business side, the passion that project always, side?
Basically what you're asking is that I always have access to internet.
Right.
Well, a couple things, you know, Starbucks parking lots, any Denny's parking lot, any fucking parking lot with a restaurant has open Wi-Fi pretty much. And also I just switched my cell service to Project Fi. So I get a hell of a lot better deal on mobile data. Okay. So there's no like a data rolls over and there's no overage charge. It's just how much did you use?
Interesting.
So that was a decision I made to kind of offset that problem, was to switch to Project Fi, get a different phone. And if I don't have access to Wi-Fi, I can just use my hotspot, you know, and I'm on a 5 gig a month plan. So as long as I don't stream on the hotspot, I should be good.
Awesome. Wicked, man. Yeah.
Yeah.
You know me, man. I'm up in Canada, specifically the East Coast.
Yeah.
And
you guys don't have much wireless service.
No, I'm sure there's something like that, but it's probably in some like sort of astronomical price range that I would not yet consider as a cell phone bill. Like,
I'm actually saving money on this, though. My AT&T bill was
Wow.
rip off.
Yeah. It's very easy to get like $110+ phone bill
Yeah,
before.
this one's 70
Yeah.
for 5 gigs.
That's, man, that is like, that's the Cadillac that we have in the Halifax, Nova Scotia area. And that, I don't know, that's got to be like at least $9,500, you know. So
Well,
yeah, but yeah, that's really cool, man. I'm really looking forward to keeping up to speed with your journey, building the projects in the out of the Winnebago, man. I think that's awesome.
thanks, dude.
Yeah, wicked. So definitely check out Mesh.
Yeah, everybody, check out Mesh. You still have to join the first team. I didn't know you signed up, so I'll send you an invite and you can log in later and accept it.
Right on.
And you could even you could kind of manage your project, your podcast project with Mesh, and it might give you an outlet for, because the first team is all about code, all tech
Nice.
people.
Nice.
So that could give you a few other contacts with people to do some other episodes with.
Right on. Yeah, absolutely, man. And I'll get the I'll help build a Python presence as well.
That'd be great, dude. Ask question,
Yeah.
any it's I mean, the first team is all about code, it's all about technology. But I think the platform of Mesh is extensible really to anything. It just so happens that we're tech people, so we're going to talk about tech.
Absolutely. Awesome, dude. Well, thanks so much for your time today. As always, enjoy catching up and having a chat. So,
Yeah,
again,
great talking to
looking
you.
forward to see what's coming. Sure.
All right, cool. Same.
Right, cheers, man.
Later, brother.